1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Cammy McCormick. An FAA computer glitch overnight delayed or canceled thousands of flights. Michael George begins our coverage.
This all started around 6:30 a.m. Eastern time when the FAA issued a statement saying they had an outage affecting their Notice to Air Mission System, or NOTAM. That system is responsible for sending out flight hazards and real-time restrictions to pilots, which plays a major role in safety.
And even though flights are taking off again, it could be a while before some of the country's busiest airports recover. KRLD's Alan Skaya reports from Dallas.
One woman flying to Bogota, Colombia through Miami says she feels lucky.
It says on time, on time. Then I checked in, it said on time. So right now I'm feeling a little good.
But another says she's waiting to go through security until she knows her flight to South Korea will stay on schedule.
Well, just one step at a time.
Airports across the country are urging people to keep an eye on their airline's schedule for any changes through the day. Alan Skaya for CBS News at DFW Airport.
Storm-ravaged California continues to take a beating, and more rain is in the forecast, as Joey Benedict of KCBS-TV reports from Ventura County.
We have no running water to this side of the street, and we have no power.
Molly Engelhardt and her husband own Soahart Farm in Fillmore, but all they're sowing right now is mud.
It was up to our knees running over the road.
The rain came so fast, turned their culvert into a driveway, took out a row of trees, and trapped everyone at the farm overnight.
Documents marked classified discovered at President Biden's former office are drawing comparisons to the documents found at President Trump's former residence. CBS's Robert Costa spoke with former Vice President Mike Pence.
Would you like to see a special counsel or not for the Biden papers?
I think the Biden papers should be dealt with precisely the same way that President Trump's papers have been dealt with and examined with the same thoroughness and carefulness.
But would you acknowledge these aren't equal episodes?
I would say, Bob, they're different in degree, but not in kind.
President Biden says he's working with the Justice Department and takes classified information seriously. The nation's public schools are facing a new financial crisis, as Jim Krasula reports.
School districts are being swamped by unpaid student lunch debt, according to a new survey from the School Nutrition Association, a school food trade group. The federal government stopped providing free meals to all public school students 3 months ago. That was a pandemic financial relief program.
The unpaid balance for school meals in one district alone totaled nearly $2 million. Bills safety Damar Hamlin has been released from a Buffalo, New York hospital more than a week after going into cardiac arrest during a game. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 12th. In Wood County, the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 8:45 a.m. at the ADRC CW in Wausau, followed by the board meeting at 9:30 a.m. The Executive Committee will meet at 11:30 a.m. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board Executive Committee will meet at 9 a.m. by teleconference. The Wood County Library Board will meet at 6 p.m. at the Pittsville Public Library. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will hold their meeting at 4:30 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Park Commission will meet at 5 p.m. at the Jordan Park West Lodge. The Diversity Affairs and Inclusiveness Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex, followed by the Agriculture and Extension Education Committee at 7 p.m. In Adams County, the Highway Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Highway Department. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 36. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 28. Tonight, overcast. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Third 1 o'clock hour for the day. Not our third 1 o'clock hour. Our third hour, which happens to be the 1 o'clock hour.
You are a time traveler.
Greg Bach is here.
I am.
Jane Matinair, still on the board. And we're going to have fun this hour. And why not start with some fun from some of the viral moments from the returning of the Golden Globes that happened last night.
Was this the first time they were in person?
Oh, so you've missed all this?
I guess, yeah.
So, 2021.
Yeah.
It was virtual.
Yeah.
And it was kind of bi-coastal as far as like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey hosted it. It was in New York and it was like, I don't know if a lot of people watched. Last year in 2022, it was not televised because the Los Angeles Times had done an investigative piece into the Hollywood Foreign Press, and their 90 or like 89 person, all those journalists who report, who are American, but report for foreign entities, and how much they are wined and dined, how much they have all of this dirt, including the fact that they are not a single black person was part of the Hollywood Foreign Press. And so amongst all of that controversy, they just didn't televise the awards show last year.
And this year, we're acting like it never happened and we're back, baby!
Well, kind of, because the host...
I loved him.
I know, you love him. Gerard Carmichael, who is a comedian.
Gerard.
How did I say it?
Gerard.
Sorry. Thank you. I know it's not Jared, at least that. Let's just
good
get that
work. Term.
And he, as comedians are the best at doing, called it out from the very beginning as far as why he was there.
Of course.
And so, and I think, well, how would you describe Gerard's comedy?
It's very matter of fact. It's just when he speaks, when he does comedy, it just sounds like something I thought of. Just going to say it. It doesn't, like when you watch his comedy, it doesn't sound like something he writes in a room and like really goes over. It just sounds like these are thoughts in my head. I'm going to say them out loud and y'all can deal with the consequence of it all.
Because it's also, it's awkward.
Yes.
Like he leans into the awkwardness of, I don't, whether or not you think this is funny, I'm going to say it.
Gerard Carmichael's 8, which is available on HBO. Watch it. It is an amazing comedy special.
So he calls out, like, people did show up, right? There was, I think, what I read was in the returning of this show, which is always the boozy, kind of chaotic award show out of all of them. But, like, because as we were talking about the break, Tom Cruise returned his 3 Golden Globes. There was a bunch of, there was so much.
Did he do that because of the controversy?
Oh, yeah. And so
I want to like him.
Who was going to show up and all the stuff. And it turned out to be a very fun night.
Yeah.
That I think what I took away from what I've read of who won and the speeches that were happening, it felt like kind of a theme of the underdog or like the people who said I couldn't or the people who didn't let me. And now I'm here. And, but let's just start at the top with some of the remarks and jokes okay. from the host
Let's do it.
Himself.
I am your host, Gerard Carmichael. Sure. And I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I'm black. I'll catch everyone in the room up if you settle down a little bit. I'll tell you what's been going on. This show, the Golden Globe Awards, did not air last year because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which I won't say they were a racist organization, but they didn't have a single black member until George Floyd died. So do with that information what you will. I'll tell you how I got here. Why am I here on the stage with you guys tonight? Well, I was at home. Just drinking tea. And I got a phone call from my man, Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill is a great producer. And he said, Gerard, really, I'm honored to be making this phone call. He said, I'm producing the 80th Golden Globes, and it would be an honor if you would agree to join as the host. I was like, whoa. You know? Like, one minute you're making mint tea at home. The next you're invited to be the black face of an embattled white organization. Life really comes at you fast, you know?
He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. He's so... Oh, he's perfect.
But tell me what... Because I missed this part of what the joke that he made about Tom Cruise.
So this led my friend, Caitlin McCarthy, co-owner of The Laughing Tap, to text me saying he will never be asked back to do this again. He got on stage with three Golden Globes that I didn't know that Tom Cruise had returned them and said... I found these backstage. These are the three Golden Globes Tom Cruise returned. Can we trade these in and use the money to help find Shelley Miskovich? Which
Jane got audibly. That reference.
So for those who don't know, it's actually Miscavige, and Shelley Miscavige is the wife of David Miscavige, who is the head end-all be-all of Scientology. His wife went missing about 10, 15 years ago.
When Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes got married.
Yep, she wasn't at the wedding. Leah Remini asked, where's Shelley? And that basically led to her leaving Scientology because she was like, where's Shelley? I want to find Shelley. And that just, she left in 2013. And I think this was 2007. And yeah, so him making that joke against Tom Cruise, Scientology in front of Hollywood, like the audible, like there was dead silence for a half second. Then people going, no, I don't think
like
there was,
what Shane just did.
Yeah. Basically, I don't think there was laughter, but it was perfect.
It's a good joke.
It was so good. It was so good. I just was sitting there going, it's Miscavige, Gerard. It's Miscavige.
Gerard just needs to watch his back and watch out for cars following
Make
him
sure
and stuff.
He doesn't disappear.
He might get disappeared too. Yeah.
Fun fact, David Miscavige's father, Ron Miscavige, who's now passed, used to live in West Allis. For years he lived here.
That's a fun Wisconsin connection.
I know too much about Scientology.
I don't know if fun was the right word that I wanted to use. But other fun connections to Wisconsin from last night. So as far as something to make you feel bad, because I think this guy is my age. So Justin Hurwitz, who's from Fox Point, who has won an Oscar.
And
last night collected his fourth Golden Globe Award for the original score of the Hollywood epic, which I haven't seen yet, Babylon. And he won his first two Golden Globes in 2017 for the score and original song City of Stars for La La Land. So I did not know that the guy who wrote the entire score of La La Land, which is an excellent movie that I love, Wisconsin.
Got tricked into seeing that movie.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, I liked it.
White guy saving jazz? Shut up.
That's true. That is fair. But then he won again in 2019 for the original score for First Man. And so fun Wisconsin connection. Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, fun Wisconsin connection there. And then the less
Less fun for Dahmer. Dahmer was nominated for a bunch of different awards. And I do think this is probably... I never finished the series, but from the parts, the episodes I did see, Evan Peters, who played Jeffrey Dahmer, won his first Golden Globe for playing the title character.
Titular character.
I think that's about enough. I don't know if that... It was such... The way that the movie got made and didn't talk to any of the victims' families or anything like that, like, I think awarding the Which facts did they change?
I think my friend, I can bring it up later or something, but like they changed some facts on there on the cops and like awards being given out. Apparently it was, I don't know. I didn't watch it at all. I'm never going to watch it. Forget that. No, thank you. And it also brought up like just comedians coming to the tap, talking about Dahmer on stage, and half the audience be like, the other be like, we're good. We don't need this. We have the Bucks. We're proud of the Bucks.
Let's talk about the Bucks.
Yeah.
But those were, I think that was kind of the extent of the Wisconsin connections last night. But I think we're going to play them in the next round because there was a couple different speeches that I loved. So I didn't put this together I think it was Brian yesterday for the movie. It's like Everything and Everywhere. Is that the name
of
the movie?
Everything, Everyone, All at Once. Shoot.
And so now it feels like.
Oh, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
And so I didn't realize, and you pronounce his name, who won last night.
He had Ki-Hui Kwan.
Ki-Hui Kong?
Ki-Hui Kwan. And I apologize if I'm saying that wrong.
This is one of the things I was like, I ran out of time to double check how to pronounce his name. So I saw the speech. Like, at first I was just like, this is a good speech. I'll watch it later. And then really watching it, I realized, that's Data. He went from Goonies, and it's Short Round. From Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of his speech. Do we have time to play it now? Yeah. All right, let's play it now.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. I was raised to never forget where I came from and to always remember who gave me my first opportunity. I am so happy to see Steven Spielberg here tonight. Steven, thank you. When I started my career as a child actor in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I felt so very lucky to have been chosen. As I grew older, I started to wonder if that was it, if that was just luck. For so many years, I was afraid that I had nothing more to offer, that no matter what I did, I would never surpass what I achieved as a kid. Thankfully, more than 30 years later, two guys thought of me. They remembered that kid. And they gave me an opportunity to try again.
Oh, my heart.
Yep.
Oh. Because I'm a big Indiana Jones fan, but I'm a huge Goonies fan.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, and I just kind of thought maybe I didn't realize this whole time he was still trying to be an actor, if I'm being totally honest. And maybe he was saved because a lot of those 80s actors didn't fare as well. And so, but in reality, just to think that he was really trying this whole time and finally got a chance and he's been awarded for it. We're getting played off again.
I want to talk about it more.
We're going to keep the conversation going through the break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions, Thursday at 10 a.m. right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers.
But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are giving our thoughts on last night's Golden Globes, mostly the things that I think made me feel good and the speeches that made me feel good. You missed yesterday, Greg. I was saying how much of a sucker I am for the speeches because no, who better to give a heartwarming, inspirational speech than performers, right? Like, yeah. There's a reason they're good at this.
There's always going to be a great speech.
Like,
there.
I don't want to watch the award ceremony for engineers.
Wow. What, Jane, do you take issue with that one? Because you are
I'm just saying.
You are an engineer in this room.
I don't think those,
so.
Those acceptance speeches are as entertaining.
Yeah.
You get the right data guy, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying to in make
general.
A show about it.
Right.
Of course, these are the people who make a spectacle, who love attention,
yeah.
And I'm here for it. That is my point. So we were talking about
Ki Huy Quan.
Yes. And what were you wanting to say because you didn't get to say it?
So the fact is that he, as he said in the speech, he was acting and he felt like, is this all I have to offer after, even though he was also on Head of the Class, which was a fun comedy back in the late 80s, early 90s. But I get that. I mean, well, I don't get that, but I understand where he's coming. But he then went to school and he went to school for film and he became a stunt coordinator.
Oh, interesting.
So when you watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, he's doing those
stunts.
He's doing those stunts. He's doing the fights. He coordinated the fights on the all the stunts on that movie. He is an amazing human being who deserves at least a book, if not a full documentary, because he is so interesting and his love and his appreciation and gratefulness just exudes. That picture that he took with Harrison Ford at Comic-Con and the fact he got Harrison Ford to smile, I mean, come on. But this is the statistic I want to give you. This is the fact.
Okay.
So for his performance in Everything Everywhere All at Once, he has been nominated for that role 47 times through various film critics.
International.
Correct.
Yeah.
All over the world. He has won 41 awards.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I need to go see this movie.
And there's, oh my God. So I'm a huge comic book fan. Love comic book nerds. I mean, love the movies. And the whole thing right now is the multiverse of the Marvel multiverse. That's what they're pushing out. This movie is about a multiverse that involves no comic book characters. It's about superheroes in a multiverse that stands alone from DC or Marvel. And Michelle Yeoh is just amazing. Ki Huy Quan is amazing. Like, this movie is so fun. And anyone who speaks differently, you're wrong. It's so fun and beautiful, beautifully shot. The Daniels are amazing directors. But the fact that this is what you want to see. You want to see people like him getting accolades, awards. He's going to be on a Star Wars TV show now. Like, Hollywood has come to him.
Yeah.
These are the stories we want to hear. These are the people we want to know about because he's in his 50s now, I believe. And he's always, and he, no matter what he does, he's always going to, it seems like he's always going to be grateful and beautiful and kind and loving. And I need that in my life.
All right. Well, there's another story that I feel like is similar. Maybe it's not as much of a comeback story as his, but do we have time to play? All right. So Jennifer Coolidge, who you might remember from Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show or Legally Blonde or now White Lotus. So she won for White Lotus and she had the most Jennifer Coolidge acceptance speech you could ever imagine. So we're not going to play the whole thing, but we'll play parts of it.
Mike White, you have given me hope for just, you've given me a new beginning. Even this is the end, because you did kill me off, but it doesn't matter, because even if this is the end, you sort of changed my life in a million different ways. And my neighbors are speaking to me, things like that. And no, I mean it. None of those people, I was never invited to one party on my hill, and now everyone's inviting me. And I just, you know, it's to you, Mike White, and I just want to say, this is something all of you know. If you don't know Mike White, this is what you should know. It's like, he's worried about the world. He's worried about people. He's worried about friends of his that aren't doing well, or if they're doing, he's always worried about people. You're worried about animals, all that. And I just, he really is one of the greatest people I've ever met. I mean, he gives me so much excitement to be. You make people want to live longer, and I didn't. So anyway, I just want to say, Mike White. Sorry, no, Mike. I love you to death, Dave Burnett. I love you. I just want to say, this is really a fun night. Thank you. Thank you.
She's a treasure.
She's
too.
A treasure.
She's just wonderful.
And I think it's another, because she looks incredible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's another story of a very funny actress, a very talented actress that
struggled for a long time.
And, what we didn't play is when she first gets up there, she first gives credit to Ryan Murphy, who, American Horror Story, and he's done a ton of everything, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you were hiring me, and you gave me a couple chances and a part here or there. And then she looks around the room. She goes, well, I guess you were kind of really the only one. And because, you know, there's the trope that exists that is not just a trope or a reality is women start to disappear in Hollywood once they reach a certain age. Mm-hmm. And what parts are for her. But she was also excellent in The Watchers. So she's starting to have more parts come to her. But just the vulnerability of, at the very end, her saying, I don't know if I really wanted to live anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've given me life, and you can see when we come back for the break, I don't know, we'll probably move on. But Mike White then gets up and he's too drunk to give his speech.
Yeah. It's a great clip.
Because do we have time to display that?
We don't have time for it. We'll have to play it on the other side.
We'll play it on the other side because it's so, I can't do it justice. But, you know, this is why I love award shows, yeah, or at least the clips of the viral moments from award shows that surface, because it is so hard to be an entertainer that is not at the top.
Yeah.
And you do it. And you stick with it for 30 years because you're like, I can't do anything else. Not only because I don't know how, but like, this is all I want to do. And so recognizing when these stories happen, and not the Leonardo DiCaprio stories, but these are the stories that happen when people who love the industry and love the craft finally get some attention and they use those moments in their speech so eloquently and so vulnerably and so beautifully. That is why I love award shows still. All right, we're taking another break. We'll play that clip on the other side, and then we'll move on to another topic. All right, this is Ask Us Wisconsin.
A progressive.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Suddenly it dawns on you. You have the perfect idea for that special holiday gift, but there's no time to waste. You have to move now. No need to fret. You're on your way with a Keyline Home Equity line of credit. The money is instantly available to you in the amount you need and at a comfortably affordable rate. Visit Key Savings Bank to set up your Keyline Home Equity line of credit. Then wherever you go, whatever you do, you'll be ready. Key Savings Bank, 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And visit their branch office in the town of Rome.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu is expected to introduce a plan this week that would create a 3.5% flat tax. Opponents of the flat tax say it benefits the rich, but the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reports LeMahieu said he would like to see a portion of the state's $6.6 billion budget surplus used to give everyone a tax cut. The measure will likely be blocked by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who is promoting a separate plan to cut income taxes by 10% for the middle class. A section of I-94 in Monroe County was closed this morning because of icy conditions causing numerous crashes. State Patrol closed I-94 between State Highway 21 on the north side of Toma and Highway EW at Warrens due to what they called impassable conditions. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night 69-65. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta. Marquette hosts UConn. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 36. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 28. Tonight, overcast. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
First of all, before we get to the Mike White thing, I take issue with your anger over what? Austin Butler winning for Elvis.
Okay.
Because he was... Have you seen Elvis, Jane?
I have.
He's so good in it.
He really is. He is.
And I understand that I have not seen the Brendan Fraser movie. Is it Whale?
Fraser.
Whale.
I haven't seen that yet. There's so many of these movies I haven't seen. Oh, so yeah. this is on my to-do list with all the free time that I have. But Austin Butler is excellent. And I feel like you are projecting resentment that he won just because he's a beautiful man.
Okay. That is a projection on you saying why I don't like it. The reason why I did, one, not an Elvis fan. Two, not a Baz Luhrmann fan. Mm. Not a fan of Baz Luhrmann taking Elvis. But the story is too complicated, I think, to tell. But whatever. Point is, also, when he hosted SNL, he's like, hi, my name is Austin Butler. Do people think I talk like this as a joke? I'm like, you're weird. You're not wearing a shirt under your jacket. Get together.
But he had such a sweet song to sing to Cecily Strong in her last show.
That was beautiful. I'm not opposed to beauty and people being nice. It just wasn't my cup of tea. You're making it seem like I have a personal.
I think you should see the movie before you judge.
I think you know tall potatoes. I think shut up.
Okay. All right. Back to Mike White. So Mike White is, if you don't know who he is by name, you saw a picture of him, you would absolutely recognize him. He's a writer. He's a director. He's now a showrunner. But he is the creator of White Lotus, which just finished its second season, is in November on HBO Max.
Is it a horror story?
No. It is. How do I describe White Lotus? It's kind of it's a little bit of a murder mystery. So both seasons start that you know at this very high end resort. The first one's in Hawaii. The second one's in Sicily. The hotel is called the White Lotus, and it starts at the end where someone has died, and then you start at the beginning of how we ended there. And both seasons are ensemble casts, and it's a combination of the story of the people who work at the hotel and the guests. And the first season was all about money and the way money kind of infiltrates and kind of makes people bad people. And the second season's much more about, it's still about money because you have to be able to afford to go to these luxury resorts in Italy.
Are both places called the White Lotus? Mm-hmm. Never staying at that chain.
And the second season's more about like sex and how sex drives us to do stupid things. And it's not really ever a redemption story for anyone, but the acting is so good and subtle and it's funny. And Jennifer Coolidge is excellent in both seasons. Jennifer Coolidge is the only character in both seasons.
Not anymore, apparently.
Yeah. I always feel though like she's really just playing a version of herself. She's scattered. She's kind of all over the place. She's a little odd.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like watching White Lotus and watching the Watcher, there are distinct differences of who she is in the Watcher. That's a little bit more. It's similar, but like there, it's a character that's more in the know and less of a ditz than the White Lotus. But I see what you're saying. But it's still. I don't know, because I also, it's like when you know what you're good at and you believe the person as the character, does it matter? Like, as long as it doesn't take you out of the story, it's serving its purpose. And so Mike White is the creator of the show. She moved him to tears in her speech that we just played.
Because he was drunk.
But then also he gets up and he gives this, which I think is just great.
I'm still so choked up over a generous speech. I'm like, but anyway, I was going to give this speech in Italian, but I'm too drunk because there was no food. The food, when we got there, they were like, the food is over. You can't have any. It was just good drink. So thank you. Thank you, HBO. If there's one place that gets you, let it be HBO. Thank you. Thank you, the HFPA. And thank you to these guys. I would take a bullet for you guys. Maybe not in the heart, but in the foot or the leg or whatever. And I want to thank all the actors. And Jennifer, I love you. Like, we went out with a show we wanted to do with me and Jennifer, and everybody passed. I know you all passed. You all passed on this show. And so, yes, it's very gratifying to have this moment.
I love that. Whenever I hear about big, like, comedy show, any show, movie that's like a big success and like every studio passed, I'm like, ha!
I know. There's nothing more motivating than spite.
Oh, I went to college out of spite.
You went to college for spite for who? Your parents?
Everybody. People were like, when I went back to college, I went back to college when I was 26 after three failed attempts.
Okay.
And when I finally decided to go back to college at 26, many people in my life, family and friends, were like, are you sure? You think you can do it? You think you can handle it? I'm like, oh, I am going to take that and make it my, and I graduated with really good grades and they can all go bleep themselves.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Do you also think it was just because you were finally ready to be in school?
I think.
Or was it just the spite?
I would say if you're going to put a percentage on it, I would say spite was probably like 35%.
Okay.
The other was 65% of.
That's probably a healthier balance.
I think most young people should go to college in their mid-20s, late-20s.
I am very much in that camp of some kids may be ready to go.
Yeah.
I wasn't 26, I was 20 when I started taking classes.
Yeah.
But I didn't graduate till I was a month away from being 25.
Yeah.
And I think I was that maturity and the foresight of, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. Cause listen,
I'm 45. I don't want to do.
Changed careers plenty. Yeah. But as far as the responsibility and the money involved and the dedication to going to school and picking classes, not because they were easy, but because they were what I thought was interesting, all of that, just those 2 years, I think made a difference. So I am a big fan of, if you're not ready yet, no one says you have to go.
Yeah.
You do have to get a job, but
get a job, pay a rent.
But yeah, I also love, he's like, we got here late, so we didn't eat any food. Yeah. And I've been drinking so much.
I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that someone there can't whip up a salad for you, dude. Like, not you, like, I get it. Like, you have no control, but like, hey, he's here. He's nominated. He wanted some food. There's got to be a leftover. There's got to be some turkey or some chicken.
This man a piece of table bread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, here, dude, soak up some of that booze, dude. You're going to win. We all know you're going to win. That show is great.
Well, how cheap are the gold? They don't have peanuts on the table? I mean, what's going on?
Okay, this isn't a tavern in Dallas, Jane.
I didn't say shelled peanuts or peanuts with a shell, although that would add a whole different element to the Golden Globes.
What do you mean there's no smoking at this Golden Globes event? I'm getting out of here.
All right, well, that was fun.
Now we
get to do it. Will we do this again for the upcoming, I guess maybe
for the Oscars, right?
For the Oscars, we'll probably do it again. It's a little more stuffy.
It is.
And there won't be any TV shows.
They're so much more limited with time. I think that the Golden Globes do give them a lot more time to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a loosey-goosey.
It's much looser.
Who's hosting the Oscars this year?
Your mom. Got her, folks. Got her. Nailed it. I don't know. I don't even know if they've announced it because they haven't announced any of the nominations.
That's on January 24th. I think they're announcing the nominations. But I would assume they already have announced who the host is going to be.
Oh, it's Jimmy Kimmel.
Has he done it before?
I think so. Yeah, I think he has done it. Third stint. This is me a third time.
Do you think in a comedian's career, how much of hosting one of these shows is
a goal?
Yeah, and I guess that's two questions. How much of it is like, oh, I've made it if I get asked to host one of these? And second, is that one of the hardest things that a comedian can do is host one of these shows?
I think the first one is, yeah, that's a thought. That's just like, I must have made it if I'm asked to host the Grammys or the Emmys or the mm-hmm. Tony, like the big ones, the big network award shows. I would have to assume that doing it, for a comedian, whether you are like a late night personality or a stand up like Gerard Carmichael, it has to be one of the most miserable experiences ever because your whole being is to generally poke fun at some sort of authority, some sort of like higher like thing. Like, you know, you're railing against whatever, you know, like you have the freedom to write whatever you want. Now, if you're a clean comedian and you're just doing family jokes, yeah, fine. But no one's hiring you to host those awards. But for them, like Jimmy Kimmel, you know, you've watched Jimmy Kimmel, his whole thing about poking at authority in a somewhat sophomoric sense. So to be in a room full of suits who are just staring at you and don't get your jokes or do get your jokes, but can't laugh or think your jokes are too childlike, you know, same with Gerard Carmichael, Ricky Gervais, you know, all these comedians who don't care about the people sitting in front of them. They care about making an audience who loves them laugh because they're going to laugh. This room of suits, it's going to be miserable because then they got to submit their jokes for approval, for rewriting. They have to have a team of writers around them. Like for the Oscars, I don't know if you get to bring your own writers. They have their own writers. And then they have to write jokes to your voice, which is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's probably a sign that they've made it. And that's a wonderful thing. Get that money, get that exposure, get those opportunities based off of it. But I have to imagine that hosting those big network award shows for a stand-up comic or a comedic actor has to be misery. I would go one step further. It's got to be worse for a comedian, a stand-up, who has to write for one of those shows. Because their brain has to go to a corporate mold.
But it's interesting because I feel like there's enough examples where the jokes are edgy. They're edgy enough for... They're not a comedy club.
They're
not their hour special, but like... I don't know. I mean, how do you think he got away with that Scientology joke?
They were putting their hands up in a mea culpa of last year and saying, just say whatever you want. We can't tell you what to, yeah, absolutely.
But then how does Ricky Gervais get away with it? Because he eviscerated people. Like, every time he's ever asked
because,
to host.
Because when he does that, it gets viewers who don't watch those shows generally because they want to see, they want, like, that's the time you're going to see, like, probably conservatives watch that show. Be like, I'm going to watch the British guy take on the Hollywood elite. Bah, 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 and he drinks beer on stage. I mean, yeah, if you get ratings, they're going to ask you back and they don't care. That's why, like, John Oliver wins Emmys every single year and he consistently makes fun of HBO in, like, a really mean way. Some,
not only that, because who owns HBO?
Well, it's now HBO is owned by Discovery.
Because he's gone after the parent company.
His whole thing was going after AT&T all the time.
That's what it was.
He was always going after AT&T, calling him business daddy. I love that. But, like, if you're making money and you're getting those ratings and you're and winning awards and gaining acclaim, those suits don't care who you make fun of. They don't care. The Smothers Brothers made fun of the Vietnam War. They weren't getting ratings, so therefore they got canceled. If they would have been like the top rated show every night back in the 60s, early 70s, then yeah, they would have been like, yeah, make fun of the Vietnam War, make fun of the government. We don't care. You're making us money. But they didn't, so they got canceled.
How many jokes do you think at this year's Oscars there's going to be about the slap? Or do you think that's too low-hanging fruit?
I don't think it's going to be low-hanging fruit because Jimmy Kimmel is hosting, and Jimmy Kimmel loves the low-hanging fruit. He loves those. I mean, and there will be at least...
Talking about Jimmy Kimmel, not Jimmy Fallon, right?
Kimmel, yeah. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Kimmel is like the most successful frat boy. I love him. I watch his show.
Well, he's also changed a lot over the years. Yes. He's very different than the man show, Jimmy Kimmel.
But he still has that sense of humor to a certain extent, too. It's still very, like, young boyish. But
who's your favorite of the late-night shows right now?
Of the traditional
show, not the variety type show.
Colbert with Seth Meyers, just a smidge below him, and then Kimmel, and then I don't watch Fallon. I don't watch the Tonight Show.
You don't watch.
I only watch the Tonight Show if my friends are on it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had to interrupt your thought as far as what you were going to say.
No, I don't know what I was thinking. What do I ever know? What
because
I'm thinking
now
about.
It's too late. We can't go on to the. We were going to talk about. The weirdest things that TSA found in 2022.
We can talk about next week because I won't be here, people.
I know. Here's the question. Do I get someone to replace you or do Jane and I just
do you want to suffer find someone through it
like we do the other 4 days of the week when you're not here?
I think you should rephrase that. Just find someone who can sit in the chair.
Keep the seat warm.
Let's face it, Jane. Am I right? You can't replace me.
He's irreplaceable.
I'm irreplaceable. To find new fragrance from... A fragrance company, irreplaceable.
All right, but the number one thing we'll just I'm gonna keep it because I'm gonna do it tomorrow. Well, then you're not here.
I'll come back.
The TSA weirdest things they found. All right, well, we're gonna take one more break before we wrap up the show. Stick around. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves, The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Loretta broke my heart in a letter. She told me she was leaving and her life would be better. Joe broke it off her with the phone. After the tone, she left me alone. Jen said she'd never ever see me again. When I saw her again, she said it again. Jen.
Welcome back to the last segment of As Goes Wisconsin on this Wednesday. We are halfway through the week, people. And Greg Bach, what is coming up with the laughing tap this weekend?
What is wrong with you? What happened to you in these last 10 seconds? You've turned into a giggling mess. Well, Kristen, thanks for let me talk about this for a second here. This weekend at the Laughing Tap, starting tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll be having the one, the only, the incomparable Felonious Monk.
Not fallacious.
Shut up! God! That just sounds dirty. It does. Like, we're going to get in trouble with the FCC. Felonious. It was a Chicago landmark. He now lives, I believe he lives in LA now, but he's on a TV show called Life. He's also on the new season.
Like the board game?
No. The TV show replays a person in prison. You want to make any more jokes?
No.
Thank you. He's also on the show The Shy, which is a Showtime show. He's on that as well. And by the way, shout out to Hari Kondabolu, who is also on that show as well.
Is he really?
He's on an episode, which is great. I just saw him post that. I feel like that's going to be his year. But Felonious Monk, that's his name.
God-given name.
No, it's not. No, it's not. He is going to be at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Three shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get your tickets, laughingtap.com. I believe we have a clip, Jane.
We do.
Do we have a clip? Do we have a clip?
Do we have a clip?
Do we have a clip?
So I'm getting high, I'm watching Tucker Carlson, and all of a sudden on the screen, I see 50% of all murders committed in the United States were committed by black people. I don't know if y'all know this, but you can't do math high. Because all I heard was 50% and black people and murder. And nobody was home except me and my wife. And 50% of two. No, she's a killer. I'm in a house with a murderer.
So Felonious was also, he's just fantastic. He's a nice guy. I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him for a few years. Very, very funny, very outspoken, just also a wonderful story, you know, spent time in jail.
Interesting. Okay.
And got out and just like.
Hence the name.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Nope.
Felonious Monk? It's a reference to jazz giant Thelonious Monk.
Oh, Jane knew that. Jane's hipper than I am.
There you go. And he is just a great guy. He was also, if you were a fan of the Nightly Show, which was the Larry Wilmore show that followed the Daily Show back in the day, he was a correspondent on that show as well. I was looking to see him live on that show. I could watch the taping and he just happened to be there. I was like, yay. So it's really fun to watch his trajectory of going from, you know, where he was at, doing clubs, moving out to LA, getting serious network television jobs, and to have him come to the Laughing Tap is going to be amazing. So laughingtap.com for the tickets if you're interested in going. Come on, come out. See a wonderful comedian. And we got a great lineup. It's an amazing lineup.
Who else is?
Skylar Higley is going to be featuring for him. Skylar was a writer on Conan, and he has just one of those unique minds where it's just like the way he processes information and turns it into comedy is beautiful. And then Antonio Karim is going to be hosting. So it's going to be an amazing.
All three nights. Amazing.
So it's going to be great. So laughingtap.com for your ticket needs. Laughingtap.com for all your comedy needs. Milwaukee Comedy for all your Milwaukee comedy needs.
How's the open mics going? Any interesting stories come from that recently?
Kristen, there's always interesting stories.
That's why I asked.
There's always interesting stuff. We'll see. We have our open mic on Wednesdays, which is happening tonight.
There
you go. The bar opens at 6. Sign up starts at 7. So if you want to come down and try your hand at comedy, you can get yourself 4 to 5 minutes. Sign up at 7, and then the show starts at 8. There's always fun, little marshmallows walking through and doing their thing and saying their things, and you're like, oh, I can see a nugget of something there, and then you're like, oh wow, you should go take your medication and go home.
It just takes so much nerve. It really does.
It's a giant ego trip to stand on stage and think, yeah, people will enjoy this. And I'm talking about myself. Like, it's not well thing. I said this before. I drive hours at a time to go stand on stage for 20 minutes. That's not good thinking. That's not good behavior. That's unwell thinking.
But I will say, in the times that I've done stand up, the thing that actually was the thing that put my nerves at ease the most, because I think with something like comedy or singing or something that you're starting.
Yeah.
And the only examples you get are the people who are actual professionals.
Yes.
So yeah. The only thing you get is you can see an hour special that, and you don't see all the work that went in. Not only the work to get to the special, the years of work when they first started.
Yeah.
And so if you have any inkling of like, I think I could do this, or even could do it, like want to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And there's I think I have something to say. I think I have jokes to tell. I actually found going to an open mic, I could do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you see people, even people who are good comics working at material. But you also see a lot of people who have the audacity to think that they are good at this, and mm-hmm. you're not. And so if they can do it, I can do it. And so I actually found the concept of open mics, or like the participation in open mics, actually makes it much more approachable as thinking that you have to start somewhere.
Yep,
true.
And
kind of reassuring.
To compare yourself to the other people who are beginning than to Netflix for laughs.
It's also the only way you can do it. No one has ever said, I want to do stand-up and walked on the stage like, I'm a stand-up comedian. Where's my money? You have to toil at it.
Supposedly Michael Che, there's some stories of people who are just very naturally like, and there was a fast rise. There was
Michael Che, within 5 years of starting stand-up to when, like in 5 years, he went from stand-up to
being
SNL.
The head writer of SNL.
Yeah, exactly. And some people have that talent. But like nobody just gets up on a stage and be like, you know, I'm now an official comedian and I'm headlining. No, that just doesn't happen. Anyone who says overnight success, tack 6 to 10 years of work on that to overnight success.
Exactly. And so, well, I will be there.
Yes,
Jane,
you
do
will.
You want to come to the show? All right. So laughingtap.com.
For all your comedy needs.
All your comedy needs, at least in Southeast
Wisconsin.
At least
for the Laughing Tap, I should say.
Check out the show this weekend. Greg Bockley, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, you will.
I don't know what I'm going to do without you next week to get me through the hump day is Wednesday.
Maybe I'll call in.
Ooh.
Maybe. I'll probably be the spa.
Probably not. You'll be the spa. Gosh, or eating some gumbo.
Oh, I can't wait for gumbo. We're renting scooters.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us today. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, or the Chad Holmes Show if you're listening to WXCO. Thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Tiffany, you said that you had an epiphany. Would you like a little cereal? Wasn't us the squire of ex-girlfriends? Was it you, Carol Brown? Was it you, Carol Brown?
Carol Brown just took a bus. But I'm hoping that you'll stick around.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.